Well, welcome to the round table. We are live. It is September 10th, and it is a day that's going to be remembered for a very long time. I was just reading on Twitter that Charlie Kirk has indeed passed away. He was indeed killed. And we'll start there. I had a mountain of things to talk about, but I think we can start there and start with where we think this is going to go next and what we think is going to develop out of this. I am not going to talk about the shooter or the manifesto or any of that because I don't think any of it's been
Is there
published
a
yet.
manifesto yet?
Now, I'm waiting to see
Oh.
what the story is and if it's curated, not curated, etc. So I want to stay away from that until we actually have more detail. It's actually pretty fresh. So I don't think there's enough detail to go off of. But who wants to start? There's a mountain of things to talk about.
I'll put out this saddlebagging the innocent girl on the bus, I think, was enough to trigger a lot of people that are on the fringe radius of, hey, we got to do something. Voting and civil discourse and everything's not working. So then they see this innocent
Oh
girl get
boy.
murdered. Twitter has just been awash of every regurgitated, black on white crime that has happened in the last 10 years, and it was enough to really kind of break free that fringe and get them off the network. And everybody on this panel is always like, hey, you know what? Stay on task, stay on the reservation, and you're a million-dollar friend, and don't waste yourself on a 10-cent problem. Why would you go and sacrifice yourself to think that you're trying to retribute or avenge something that's just really ultimately going to escalate an already bad situation? And now I'm going to use a term that Colonel Murray uses a lot. My phone has been blowing up, and I'm having conversations like, how many people are in your orbit that are going to suffer if you do something that you can't come back from? And if that's the only thing remaining in your psyche to guide your next actions, then you need to have a really clear vision on that. The thing with a man like Charlie Kirk, or even some of us who put our faces and our names out in the world, is we expect to be a target to some degree. We expect that there may be blowback, doxing, potential violence. And the higher up you go in that strata, they're going to take out Trump. They took out Charlie Kirk. So the dichotomy of it, the spectrum of violence that I've seen from the left is it wasn't just, thank God that whoever it was that worked for the Charlotte Public Transit Authority smuggled that video out of that murder before they locked that down. Thank God that got brought to light. But that was bad enough, and now you follow it up with this. And I'm not really a big follower of Charlie Kirk, but I'll tell you this: a lot of people view everybody on this panel as a Charlie Kirk or a Charlie Kirk adherent or whatever. And there's another guy, Devin Nunes, or whoever the other guy is, that it doesn't matter if you listen to him or not. People on the left think that you're their number one fan, and if they're willing to do violence to these type of social media personalities, that means that they're willing to do violence to you. And that's what makes this whole thing very real and very scary. But the core lesson, I think, that everybody on this panel probably will concur with is you cannot be offended by the harm that your enemy is trying to inflict upon you. And they scored a bullseye today. So understand that part of this warfare is to not lose your cool and understand exactly who the enemy is and where they are, and then how to engage. And going out, strapping on your plate carrier and going after the closest loudmouth politician that said something you didn't like in your zip code is not the way to deal with this. But the spectrum of violence, you go from a President Trump to a Charlie Kirk to this innocent girl on the railway, it's reprehensible and shocking. But don't get angry. That's the number one thing, is don't get angry.
Well, I say that all the time, Troop. Stay out of the emotional space because this is definitely an incitement operation trying to incite people, and they hit somebody that the younger generations are basically adore. So this is classic incitement operations. That's at least, let me preface that. That's what it appears to look like is incitement operations. The situation with the Ukrainian girl, that was strictly a target of opportunity from somebody that was already a known criminal already in the system that they didn't do anything about. And they're playing the empathy bias card that he was mentally ill and the normal. But this, if you listen to the rhetoric from CNN and MSNBC, at first at CNN was very, very, they were centrist with their reporting. MSDNC went full commie. And said it was a shooter that was, you know, celebratory in the audience, which everyone knows is BS. So yeah. So Matt, you want to chime in? I know you got lots to say to this one. So I'll let you go.
Yeah, I love that term saddlebagging. I need to study that. So who's the mule in between the saddlebags, right? Yeah. And what mule are we riding? Yep, between the Charlotte girl, poor innocent Irina, and Charlie Kirk, you know, Kirk is church in most European languages. You know, Kirka, one way or the other, it's basically his name is Charles Church, and he was killed under a tent that says, you know, like basically like, you know, prove me wrong, because he doesn't want to just rip off Mark Dice and say. Not prove me wrong. It's
change my mind.
Change my mind. Yes, that's Charlie Kirk's change my mind. But yeah, who's the mule between these saddlebags? The Charlotte killing happened in end of 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and somebody smuggled that video out. God bless them, and. We only knew about it in the last 3 days, so it's definitely a saddlebag to put Charlie Kirk on top of this. The first, the guy that's arrested, the old boomer, you know, God bless the poor old boomers that aren't, you know, responsible, because they're definitely getting lined up for a kind of a gerontocide. But this guy Zinn, I don't know if he's related to Howard Zinn, but he's like one of the main textbooks of the woke. You know, the woke millennial generation is like the true history of America. We're all evil. White people are the worst. So when I see the guy named Zinn arrested, he might have just been protesting and screaming and yelling so people jumped him and then handed his stuff to the police, and he's taken away. And now, reports are he's not the shooter. So I don't know. It sounds to me like it wasn't a pistol shot.
Yeah, it was a rifle shot.
It was something, but who knows what it acoustics. You just can't go by acoustics. No, what you pick up on a microphone is going to be all bogus. I go back to the DC shooter. People were saying like, it's over there because of echoes off of buildings and everything else. And you're literally in an amphitheater with concrete buildings all over the place. So the people who are ear witnesses and who are shooters, and especially people in the military or combat that would know what it sounds like bullets going by, I'd give them much more credence. People secondhand listening to what somebody's phone picked up, it's almost a zero. It's like pop, you know. It could be a suppressor. It could have been a whatever. But it's terrible for Charlie Kirk. He leaves a wife and two small children, which is very terrible. My daughter and son-in-law, who are like, pushing 30, they're big fans. They follow him. So this is going to be a very big moment in that generation, like almost for them, like a, you know, it's impossible to compare like what happened in the 60s to what happens in the 2020s. Because the media is so different. But for that generation in their communication silo, which has absolutely zero to do with watching television or what's on Fox News, they get their phone, they get their information completely on their phone, 100%. So for them, Charlie Kirk could be like a Martin Luther King. I mean, a really, really big deal, because he's somebody that they like follow. You know, probably more than most Americans ever heard of Martin Luther King in the 60s, given that media was, you know, three networks. So for that generation in that silo, this is going to be a real body blow. And saddlebagged with Irina Zarudska, it's like, okay, Irina Zarudska's killer is just a bot, just a zombie set out by the left to just do whatever mayhem he can do. You know, he's just like a lone, dangerous tool we're just going to send into society. And Charlie Kirk, obviously, it was a planned event because he's at, I had no clue this was like Utah's biggest college, 40,000. I never even heard of it. Did they have a football team? I mean, I thought you had to have a football team to be a real college, just being sarcastic. But he's in an amphitheater surrounded by buildings, and somebody took a shot at him, obviously planned.
Absolutely planned.
So the Charlotte killing and the Charlie Kirk killing are going to be paired like saddlebags just because the proximity of their rising to national attention. And I'm just, you know, so what's the mule carrying the saddlebags? You know, that's really fascinating saddlebags. I'm going to have to think about that. But anyway, I'm blathering on. Go ahead.
No, you're also spot on. I mean, you're spot on. Just a second, Michael. You're spot on. I mean, this was a planned event. This was obviously a rifle shot. If you look at I feel bad for his wife.
A gout of blood. It's like a pint in 3 seconds.
Yeah, it was obviously, you know, a silent.
Any hunter knows that's a kill shot.
Yeah, a suppressed weapon. It hit a, you know.
Maybe or may or may not have been suppressed, because acoustics in a public thing like that, picked up on any kind of microphone, suppressed or not.
I don't disagree, Matt, but it, you know, I'm assuming it was probably suppressed from a distance. I mean, it's hard to say, right? But it was a kill shot.
But a pint of, if it, some people are saying, oh, that was an AI video, which was taken down. So when that video, the high def video came out, I took screenshots of it. Because then, like an hour later, it's like that video has been deleted. So, and this relates to the Minneapolis trans shooter, and it's ironic because Charlie Kirk was talking about trans shooters when he was killed, and the witness who was, I saw on Fox News, a young student with a beard, kind of a, you know, shabby beard, was the guy who was talking first about like Mormonism versus Christianism. And he said before he got to talk to Charlie Kirk, so he's sort of like in the green room of those, you know, people with a question, the prove me wrong questions. He said, oh, I was talking to this guy who said he had a question about trans. And that's the guy that went on after me. And so when my question about Mormons versus Christians was done, I turned to leave. But it was so crowded that I turned around and the guy with the trans question spoke for just like 10 seconds and bang, the shot. And that guy on Fox, which is like maybe half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago, he said, I saw like fountain of blood. So some of these people are like, oh, I was 10 feet away, but I was looking at my phone or I was looking the other way. This guy said, I saw like the fountain of blood. So it raises the question of, was somebody setting in a guy to do a trans question to shoot him then? Or is it just like a total coincidence of, you know, synchronicity of the wheels of history, that while he's dealing with a question about all the trans shooters, he's shot right then? Not a question about abortion or immigration. Right then, he's shot. It just, you know, puts it in my mind.
Well, the timing of it is definitely suspect, right? And I think as this develops, like they're saying now, I'm just watching the Twitter feed, they're saying now that the shooter was on a building 200 yards away, and it was a distant shot, so definitely a rifle shot.
And but the guy that you see the video of the Friar Tuck bald guy,
yeah,
Zinn, Z-I-N-N, like Howard Zinn, what I'm seeing now is he was not the shooter.
No.
He was a distraction so the shooter could get away back in the day.
But were they coordinated, or is it the pheromones? Is it all the ants are going there because of a chemical, you know, social chemical smell in the air? You know, does that mean Zen knows the shooter? Does it just mean that the frequency is so vibrating so wildly that all the ants are heading towards that?
Back in my time in the service, if you go to a bar and you're drinking and you got a cab and your buddy had, you know, was driving and the cops are on top of stuff, or you're sober and your buddies aren't, you always get the one guy that leaves the parking lot of the bar first, and he's swerving around and driving and drawing the attention of law enforcement. And as soon as the lights go on and he gets pulled over, then the drunk guys go home. And I kind of see this playing out the same way. You have a shooter, he takes the shot, and then you got this person over here creating a distraction, getting put into custody. All the focus is on him. People are running in every direction. They don't necessarily have to know each other, but that doesn't mean they're not working together.
That can be, and I'm not discounting that, but I'm more thinking the ants are communicating by a chemical pheromone. You know, when the fire ants, when you are, you know, doing lawn work and you step on the fire ant nest, they're not all telling each other, let's all count to 20 and then bite, but they do, because they're all like, they've got that chemical sense, the pheromone thing. So Stephen Coughlin, who is like a genius of this, and you know, Paul Revere, and a trying to warn us forever, he says, he's talking about this as being a mass line, open communication. It's a form of communication. Van Johnson puts out the message. They're on a same frequency. Nobody has to say, now we're going to the kill level. Okay, now we're going kinetic. But they're all on tuned on this frequency, and they're all buzzing on this frequency, and the amplitude goes up to the level where it triggers like the fire ant pheromone, bite now. And that communication is going out. And something that I see on our signal channel sometimes is communication about numerology. And the way that I look at this is, rational Western minds on our side, whenever we hear numerology or astrology, our eyes roll back, we yawn, we like, you know, that's the UFO guy, ignore this. And that's great for them, because on the ant pheromone level, the numerology is used as a open communication channel that we don't pick up on, because we're rational and we don't think that way. And we're like discounting it. No, numerology. So we're like tuning that out. We're like, you know, we're just saying,
that well, it's frequency, been conditioned, Matt. It's been don't conditioned listen to that. Out of us, right?
But the as soon ants, as you mention it. But the fire ants on the other side, they're really dialed in to like, this date is significant, or what this guy said about this historical event is significant. And their frequencies are all vibrating. And when they get to a threshold level, like a boiling point, they go over into kinetic. There's nobody saying to all of these people, like a lieutenant telling the sergeant to tell the privates. It's happening at a pheromone level that's operating at this open communication level. That and they're remember, hearing it. Remember the GOP baseball shooter. This guy had never owned a gun in his life, but he was listening to liberal media, and there were articles in Washington Post and New York Times about the GOP having a annual baseball game, and they would practice. And if you read the whole article at this exact field, this guy picked up from that to buy a van, buy the first rifle he ever bought in his life, which was an SKS, practice like 10 shots in like a field near his house, drive to Washington, D.C., live in his van, using a YMCA near the GOP softball or baseball field, practice field. Nobody told him to do that. He got no order from anybody, but he's all this open communication is happening. That's like elevating him and elevating him towards going kinetic.
Well, call it what it is, Matt. It's programming. They're programming people to do this. This is why I've been talking about it.
The Charlotte killer was much simpler. Right. I killed that white girl.
Yeah. Target of opportunity based on the race narrative. Yeah. It was a race crime.
Well, and if
the other piece of that that people aren't paying attention to is go watch MSDNC right now. That's open sedition and incitement. Open. And it's being propagated. Like, just watch people on TikTok right now. They're losing their minds. The left is losing their minds. And you're right, it is at a pheromone level. Yeah, because the right is angry.
It's called, and look for these terms, open communications targeting. We ignore anybody. If somebody says my astrologer said, it's like, I blank you out, right?
Hang on a second, Matt, go ahead. Longshot or Bruce, go ahead. You guys are.
I was just going to say, it reminds me exactly like what we saw in COVID.
And of course you go digital the moment you start talking. Fantastic.
I'll jump in real quick. So let's rewind. The left has been using the term dog whistle. This is a dog whistle the Republicans and the Trumpsters are using to get each other riled up. They're just flipping it again.
They use that term because it's projection.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's projection.
And I've been watching a lot of this turn into a call to arms on the radical left side too. I mean, they're just straight up putting out violent pheromones to the rest of the lefties. Like, we're done. We don't care about the white girls. Screw Charlie Kirk. Fuck white people. They're speakers inciting the weak minded, on their side of the party. But they're going all in on this.
Well, and I think it's fitting that this. That's a bad choice of words. I think that it's not coincidence that this happened just before 9/11. Is not a coincidence.
Are you a numerologist?
Well, I've talked about it, Matt, taking my bullets over that one. Thank you for reminding me.
We listen to numerologists on this channel.
I took a lot of heat over it, and it's but it's true. But our enemy uses numerology to plan their events to celebrate their events. I don't want people so superstitious about it. It's a fact, right?
Right. It's pheromones.
Yeah. Yep. And one of the other things that people need to keep in mind is, and I know it's going to be hard for people to hear, but at the end of the day, you got to do intelligence preparation on the battlefield, IPB. And part of doing IPB is understanding how your enemy arrays their forces across the battlefield. We on the right do not do that. We don't even, and again, this is going to piss off Christians, but it is what it is. Because of the programming, the indoctrination, as well as the education that goes along with Christianity, you even talk about numerology or especially astrology. Well, that's evil. That's evil. That's going to suck you into an evil, bad area. The reality is everybody outside of the U.S. uses astrology and numerology to plan events. That's what our enemy does. This is,
yep.
If we don't understand it, we can't combat it. And that's, I haven't asked, I think Sharita's in the audience. Sharita, what's the significance of 9/10? Let her respond. But you're right, Matt. Your numerology is looked at with disdain.
Yeah, it's like somebody says, here's a video camera binoculars that your enemy's been using for the last year. And it's got all of his thoughts and visions recorded on it. Hell no, I'm not going to look at it because it's not scientific. It's not rational. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. You got to look at the world through your enemy's binoculars. You have to if you're stupid.
I think Sharita's in, I think I saw her in the audience, but yeah, she could tell you the significance of 9/10. She did an update on September and said, we're going to be in a period of reflection based on the astrological charts and the numerology and where things align. And where are we right now? We're at a moment of reflection right now. We're at an inflection point. And what we're not hearing is, we as a nation are not hearing, we need to look at what brought us to this point. We need to start evaluating what brought us here and why this kind of violence is being not only incited, but condoned. And you don't hear anybody talking about that. All you hear is the left is cheering that Charlie Kirk was killed, which is inherently dangerous for a lot of different reasons. But then it also shows the level of mental illness in this country. That people are celebrating somebody's death, that's unbelievable to me. But again, yeah, there's Sarita. So yeah, posted a link to it. But the whole month is going to be one of those months. And I should remind everybody that we are in the same astrological area that this country was in at the start of Revolutionary War. We are in a death rebirth cycle, according to the astrological charts. Now, that's about the extent of my knowledge of how to explain it, you know, because it's been chimped down to me. But Matt's right.
Wait, here's a way to communicate this. Don't say we are at this level in the numerology and astrological charts, because it sounds like I believe this. I am an astrological numerologist. Say,
I'm none of those things, Matt.
But what you just said was, in the astrological and numerology, we are in this, you have to say, our ant enemy, the pheromone-driven ants, who believe in numerology and astrology, they are in this point. And if you knew out there in Orkland that the orcs all just picked up their weapons and are running towards your castle, that doesn't mean I'm an orc and I agree with orcs. I'm just saying I have an insight into how orcs think.
Thanks for chipping that down for me, because you have no idea how many times I've had to have that explained to me so I understand it, because it's not my domain of expertise.
Understand how orcs think and ants.
Absolutely. Longshot, I know you were, and Bruce, I know you wanted to say something. Are you able to speak now?
It's working. I already said what I wanted to say.
Okay.
We didn't hear.
We missed what you said.
Yeah.
Go ahead and repeat it.
You better say it again.
Yeah. Okay.
Just agreeing with what Matt said and saying that I think that what we see right now with the left and some to the right is like mass formation psychosis, what Matthias Desmond talked about COVID, and that they've got people that are ready to react just to certain code words like the ant idea and pheromones, and that the result is they know if they say the right things enough times, they're going to trigger a certain percentage of people to act.
For sure.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think all their events are planned. And look, there's a reason why they call the arts liberal arts. There's a reason why there's a liberal mindset in the arts. But if you look at look at organizations that are in the artistic world, we'll see that naturally they all tend to align and work together without a lot of direction and a lot of groupthink. And that's what Matt's really talking about
here. Open communication targeting.
Yes. I mean, you can keep saying it, Matt, but it doesn't mean it's going to land anywhere.
You say it to the whole audience in a way that doesn't tell everybody. Van Johnson doesn't say, go out and kill white girls. Van Johnson says, I feel the pain of that poor brother in Charlotte. Okay? That doesn't, it's not actionable by law enforcement to say, go arrest Van Johnson.
Yeah.
But the people that are resonating at the same frequency, but at just sub boiling point, they boil over then.
Well, here's the question, and this is for all of you. Do you think this is going to be a catalyst for further violence? Do you think there's going to be retaliation? Do you think there's going to be, because I've been talking for months now that we're waiting for somebody to go off the reservation. This isn't somebody going off the reservation. This was a targeted, planned attack. This is somebody that methodically thought through doing this. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, this was a primary explosive.
Yes, this I'm talking about people that go off in the emotional state. Let me say it again, in the emotional space, and they react and they go off the reservation.
I want to know if this guy in Utah, if Mr. Not Howard Zinn was not the shooter, and he was just like another ant triggered to like creep up to the boiling point, like I got to get near Charlie Kirk and aggravate. And because of that, people said, arrest that guy. If that's telling us that the ants are all boiling over there, I want to know when they arrest the actual shooter from Utah, is he going to be some idiot, or is it not the real shooter, or some programmed bot, or is it going to be like Las Vegas, like many mysteries about it, which would tell me that it's something higher, that this is a much more planned event, and whoever is put forward as the real shooter isn't the real shooter, or he's just a patsy. So I'm really interested in that.
There's a video footage, Matt, about the roof and a guy moving on the roof just before the shot was taken. It's not confirmed, but it's starting to flood the world right now.
So
I think it's going to be like Tupac, man. They're never going to find the killer.
But
probably hired.
Or if they do, is the killer just some idiot that they put forward to be like the butler PA or another, you know, roof, the golf course shooter?
That's why I'm waiting for the story to develop and see if there's a manifesto and see how curated it is, because that'll be the tell if this guy's a patsy or not, right? And we may never know, but I think that whoever took the shot had enough foresight to go recon the area. They were probably a trained shot, or if not a very good shot. Well,
they got him like right here, you know, not sure which one my cap. They got him right like in the neck. Okay. So gouted blood over his t-shirt. But you don't know, is that a trained shooter that like missed his, you know, right here by 1 inch, or is it a guy that like was aiming to hope to hit a basketball and maybe you hit Trump's ear, maybe it goes in the air, or maybe it hits Charlie Kirk in the neck. So if the guy could have been like, he bought a rifle, a 2 minute of accuracy rifle, sighted it in like, you know, with five shots, and just by luck, it hit here instead of passing his head. Or we don't know.
If he was on the roof and he wasn't a trained shooter and he's shooting downhill, I think he was probably aiming for the head, and you have a different drop compensation shooting downhill. So he undershot it.
But at 200 or so range, the drop compensation is almost nil. I'm just thinking it was practically a level shot because it didn't clip his jaw. It hit him like right here. It wasn't some like high elevation shot. I mean, high is relative, you know, 10 degrees. But it hit him like in the top of the neck above his t-shirt. And he gouted like a pint of blood in 3 seconds.
Yeah, he was, yeah. And let me respond to something in the chat. Let me just say this out loud so everybody hears me say this. We don't know enough about the shooter to assign blame to a country, to a person, to a group. And you shouldn't be doing that anyway. When I say, see how things develop, this is what I'm talking about. Everybody wants to go off the deep end and start blaming everybody and start pulling shit out of their ass. Stop doing that. Wait and see how the narrative develops. See what's put out in the news. See what they say about the shooter, if they even find a shooter. And then wait 24 hours after that or 48 hours after that to see what else comes out. Because there's it's too early to start throwing this out. And I'm not going to sit and watch people villainize entire groups of people because you want somebody to blame. This is what I say. Stay out of the emotional space. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Everybody wants to respond emotionally. You got to stay out of that space. Look, if this develops the way that I think this is going to develop, bad shit's going to happen, and it's going to get really fucking personal for a lot of people. You got to stay out of that space because that's the space they want us in. That's what they're trying to do to incite violence. They want a civil war. That's what they want. And everybody needs to take a step back and realize that this is not going to lead anywhere. There's no there. There's just a lot of dead Americans, and they cover their tracks and whatever their nefarious shit they're doing to distract us. This is obviously a distraction. The question is why.
And that goes back to troops saddlebags. It happened August 22nd, but for the country, it happened like 3 days ago. So you have Irina Zarudska killed in Charlotte, and all of the male dad genes in our bodies are like ready to just go out and start killing people because we see our daughter curled in the fetal position after her throat's being cut. And we're just like ready to like start pinging on steel or whatever. And then Charlie Kirk is killed. So the other dad thing. So we got the dad daughter thing going on, and we got the dad Charlie Kirk thing going on. Charlie Kirk's our son who's got a family with small children, and we're just like in the rage. So we're being flamed up into a rage. So yeah, we have to stand back and not be the sheep in the middle of the herd, where, you know, a shot goes off here and a shot goes off there, and we charge right, charge left, charge forward, because we're not thinking, because we've put into this rage, this saddleback rage between our daughter and our son being murdered. And that's like, I'm not saying that's like nobody in a room planned this, but it's just, that's the frequency that we're vibrating on right now. And for our side, you murdered our daughter, now you murdered our son, and we're just like ready to go to war.
Right. And what we need to do, and I know this is going to be hard for people to accept, is the reason why this is and get away from the news. There's a quick way to solve the news issue, and this is what we should all be calling for, is a repeal of Smith-Mundt modernization. You want somebody to blame? Blame Brennan, Obama, and the crew that put the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act in place, and all the people that voted for it, because that allowed
MSNBC
and CNN and the rest to openly lie to you on TV without.
Stephen, people aren't familiar. You got to give us a thumbnail.
So the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act was passed in 2012. And essentially, it allows news agencies to spread propaganda without any fear of retribution. It's like indemnity for, basically, they passed indemnity for all the media agencies, so they can say whatever they want.
Pharma companies.
Right. There's no fear of any kind of prosecution because they have unlimited indemnity. So they can say whatever they want to say. You want to fix this problem? Go. First, revoke the license of MSDNC and CNN. Second, repeal Smith-Mundt. And there's another act that was passed, I want to say, in the 90s. But that's what's allowing this kind of open sedition to be pushed to the public. You get rid of that, and they don't have that ability to do that, and they can be held liable. And that's the first step. Because a lot of this incitement is being pushed by the media. I mean, just watch The View. Jesus Christ, it's open sedition. Why hasn't somebody arrested these people? They're openly calling for the death and killing of conservatives on The View, for Christ's sake. So as far as I'm concerned, you got to solve the problem, a bigger problem, which is, and by the way, everybody in Congress bitches about the mainstream media, but how many of them have actually proposed and put an amendment forward to repeal Smith-Mundt? Zero. So any of them talking right now, they're all full of shit, all of them, especially MTG. I don't want to hear her open her fucking mouth. Sorry. Thanks for that reframe, Matt. Appreciate that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like the thing we need to be looking for now is potential other follow-on shootings. I think that we could be seeing actions done towards the left to get them now incited.
That's what I mean by people going off the reservation. That's exactly what I mean.
Or false flags.
Yeah.
Right.
Due to timing. Just good timing, false flags.
Or, as you say, green flags.
Green flags. Yeah. I was just going to say that. I think that there's a very real possibility of that. And, you know, you can make the argument either way, that this is to distract away from the killing that was on the subway, or this is to distract away from Epstein, or this is to distract away from any of the quote unquote grand jury's going on, right? Who knows, right? I'm not going to speculate on that. But to the optics of it
implies a plan. To distract away implies, you know, a committee saying, we'll do this, then we'll do this, this will happen, then we'll do this. I don't believe that that's possible, given that the Charlotte thing happened in August. It all blew up on the scene 3 days ago. Then Charlie Kirk happens. You know, and another thing that happened that's, it might not, you know, seem that significant to us, but I believe it's extremely significant in the White House, is in one of his like demonstration projects of how DC is safe now, Trump went out to dinner last night at some place, Joe's Crab Shack or something. And there were like 20 or more code pinkos, you know, female harridans that had obviously they'd practiced or passed out a script, because they had like a four line thing that they repeated over and over again, you know, Trump is the modern Hitler, but it, you know, free Palestine. I forget what it is, but it was scripted. And you had Trump, Vance, VP, Hegseth, Department of War. I think that's stupid too. And you have Rubio, State. They're all in hand grenade range. They're all in like, you know, throw a satchel charge. They're all dead. And then who's president? You know, right then, the top four just got killed. The Secret Service wasn't on top of that. The Secret Service didn't know that somebody had leaked where he was going. It had to be somebody in the Secret Service detail or at a high White House level, or their security was so shitty that they didn't know that they were being surveilled. So they show up at Jones Crab Shack and there's Code Pink. If it was Code Pink last night, it could have been a guy with a satchel charge, right? So and taking out the top four,
or a drone. Don't forget drones.
Well, it's inside of a structure, but I mean, if you got like you got Hegseth was like leaning forward, like he was ready to go ballistic, you know, do a chin up, a pull up chest. But if you have those four guys together, and you have an enemy force, Code Pink, you know, a George Soros NGO, you know, millions of dollars for these ladies, going back forever, they could have, somebody instead of, you know, doing a chant, could have thrown a satchel charge and taken out the top four. So that's, to me, like nothing happened, right? It's barely in the news. So it's not like a Butler PA or a Ruth at the golf course in Florida, but enemies of Trump got within satchel charge of killing the top four. And even though that's not a big thing in the news compared to, you know, like the Karen in Philadelphia with the baseball, that's like, you know, hours and hours. But I'm sure at the White House, there's a lot of questions about what the hell happened with our security, that we went into that restaurant and there's 20 enemies there. Hello, Secret Service. I mean, so then at the same time, you've got the Ukraine false flag drone attack, where they're trying to obviously instigate a World War III, trying to claim some kind of an Article 5 because Russia is attacking Poland with drones, which is obviously bullshit, but they probably, it looks like, took drones through Belarus into, you know, either Belarus or Western Russia to launch them against Poland. At the same time that Estonia has been launching NATO or somebody's drones into Russia from NATO Estonia, because some of them have misfired and been like found on the ground. So we're looking at Europe, where, you know, we're all over here looking at like, oh, Charlotte and you know, Charlie Kirk, but the rest of the world is looking at Ukraine war. They're von der Leyen is obviously trying to get them as hard as they can into a world war in Europe. That GPS thing with von der Leyen's plane is so clearly being set up as a plane load of NATO officials or EU officials is going to be blown out of the sky, and they're going to say Russia did it. I mean, it's obvious. They're like key. They're just trying to tee up a Lusitania or a Maine or a Tonkin or a Pearl Harbor. They're trying so hard to tee that up. And then you've also got Israel attacking Qatar, a neutral an ally, so to speak. I mean, I'm not a fan of Qatar. I'm not a fan of Hamas. But like a day after Trump is talking about, oh, we're going to have negotiations over the hostage release. And then, boom, Israel hits Hamas at a hotel in Qatar, neutral Qatar. And there's rumors that we refueled them over Jordan, that our U.S. Air Force refueled these planes. I mean, we're looking at just the close focus, which is normal and natural. You know, the arena in Charlotte, Charlie Kirk in Utah. But the rest of the world's also rising to a boiling point. And at one level, I stopped looking at who did this here, who did what there. You know, what's the false flag, what's the real flag? And I'm just looking at the pot, and I'm looking at the overall pot, and I'm going, look at the water just bubbling to the top. We're all arguing about who did this in Utah, who did that in Charlotte, who did that in Ukraine, who did that in Qatar. But I'm watching pot just getting right to the top.
Right. We're seeing multiple lines of operation for incitement, but we're also seeing, and I said this on my show last night, we're seeing the moral fiber of several countries starting to reach the boiling point, right? We're starting to see the cultural friction reach a boiling point, especially in Ireland. I'm actually surprised Ireland hasn't popped off yet, but that's what we're seeing. Nepal popping off yesterday was, you know, they had, again, like Sri Lanka, right? Sri Lanka was the litmus test to see if they could do the social scoring system and get people to sign up for QR codes. I think Nepal was, hey, we're going to do away with all social media and you're only going to have what we have. Well, what they got was politicians killed in the parliament.
And right now, those are like big flares going up on the horizon. Like, you know, if a ship or two had been paying attention and they had seen these flares, it would have been like, I think that's a Titanic and maybe they're sinking. But they just say like, oh, look, some flares on the horizon, but they're really important. Even if you don't catch their importance right at the time. So it's like Nepal, who cares? Oh, you know, Korea's arresting presidents and Japan's bonds are collapsing and they're like, if France and Germany are on the verge of financial collapse and they're talking about attacking Russia. I mean, this to me is like 1914, pre-June 1914.
Yeah, I think this is a global operation too. I don't think this is just isolated. I think,
but it may not be an operation. Operation implies that there's guys in a room saying, you know, it's like, who's got the white cat, you know, you.
At this point, Matt, nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me. Everything that we see right now, so much fiction. Yeah.
It wouldn't either, but it can just be a pheromone thing. It can be just, it's just the water in the pot keeps bubbling higher. And however we debate what are the causes of the water getting hotter, I'm just looking at the top of the pot and I'm going, you know, whatever it is down here, it seems to me like this thing's about the volcano right over the pot.
It is. Trip, you got a few minutes left. You any final thoughts before you punch out?
Yeah, so we have a lot of surveillance, like we call it running trap lines, and all the AIs, the crawlers, the listening. There's hundreds of different data service providers that scan social media. The NSA and CIA also have their own data collection capabilities, but pretty much any social media, anything, anywhere you communicate, there's something grabbing your content for various reasons. And one of those reasons is for threat detection, threat identification, pattern identification. The problem with an event like today is all of that trap line is bent to the right. All of that trap line is directed and bent on conservative social media, conservative groups, conservative congregating areas. And it hasn't really been retooled to also include the left, like this recent Blue Sky or whatever social media. And there is some very violent extremist messaging that's going on and these private Facebook groups and in Blue Sky and in, you know, all these other places where the extremist left communicate. So when you have a major event like this and it's, you know, it's stacked on both of these things, you got a lot of people that are angry, they're mad, and all of that threat identification peaks to a delta, but it's all noise and you're waiting for it to come over on the other end and then say, okay, you know, what's still, you know, what's signaling indicators that this is a legitimate threat, this group, this person, whatever. And the system's overwhelmed right now, but the system that is overwhelmed with a lot of right rage. And there's a lot of blind spots on the left rage side that aren't being detected. So that my, you know, my closing thought with that is when you're trying to do an analysis of that much information, you're going to rely on tools and algorithms, but then the actual analysts that are looking at this are only getting, they're getting 2/3 of all of the right rage and only maybe if we're lucky, 1/3 of the left rage, you know, source information. So this isn't just a catalyst or a call to arms for any of these fringy right people that are going to fall off and go off the reservation. This has been a call to arms for the left as well. And many of them have less to lose than people on the right. So I wanted to close with that. We're in a high threat environment right now.
Yep, it's true. Bruce or Longshot, you guys got any anything else? I think I'll wrap this up right at 3. All right. Well, right at 6 Eastern at 3.
I just posted something in our chat. It looked like somebody made a prediction. It's not fully verified. It says Charlie Kirk is coming to my college tomorrow. I really hope someone evaporates him, literally. Let's just say something big will happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's the start of the manifesto.
Yeah.
It should be interesting
open,
to see.
Open communication goes. Targeting.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, it's hard not to get emotionally overloaded and irate. It really is. You know, one, there was another event that is under reported that happened in Louisiana or Alabama. 60-year-old white veterinary nurse walking a dog in the park. Guy jumps out and hacks her to
Auburn,
death.
Auburn University. Yeah.
So, okay. Oh, yeah. So, you know. This stuff has got to come to an end. Yeah. I mean, I think I was saying, you know, we're almost to an epidemic point at this point in time, as many people are getting murdered here lately.
You see a ratio, well, being, see a ratio 13-50 around, which when you just, it's like shorthand. It's like, you know, people that love Adolf Hitler with putting his date up or something, his birthday. So 1350 stands for 13% of the population, 50% of the murders, but it's actually like 6.5% because it's just black males, 50% of the murders. So you see that as like a shorthand. And this is showing that the Overton window is shifting, both on talking about, like, you know, Middle Eastern issues and also on racial issues, that you couldn't even talk about these things on X 5 years ago. Couldn't even talk about them. And now you can.
Nope. And I think that the inflection point that we're at right now, it's going to, if I stick with the pawns in the game analogy that William Carr wrote, this is a lot of what we're seeing is right out of Pawns in the Game. Then when you align that with the National Guard troops being moved into, I guess it's Chicago now on September 19th, I think that was the date, then you could see how all this would align with that that agenda, right? So there's, you can make a lot of assumptions is what I'm saying, and you can look at a lot of correlation. We don't really know a lot yet. We definitely don't know anything about the shooter yet. So, but you can see the trend growing, right? And here's my caution to everybody. My caution is, don't get wrapped up in the emotional and the anger of this, right? It's you should be angry. But where the proof is in the pudding is going to be that we keep people from going off the reservation and giving the people that are trying to incite this the opportunity to drive us into a civil war. We do not need a civil war.
But at a certain point, warnings mean jack, and you just have to keep an eye on the boiling level in the pot, okay? We're like this few atoms over here saying, hey, atoms over there, chill down. At a certain point, you also just got to watch the overall boiling
level. I was getting there, Matt. I agree with you.
Stay strapped and be Dan Penny. Be Dan Penny one.
Be ready for anything.
And I agree. And better tried by 12 than, or better tried by 12 than carried by 6. So the whole Dan Penny Charlotte juxtaposition is becoming very real to people. So I would say stay strapped. And another reason to get, I always say, get out of the blue hives, get out of the urban cores. Not just because when the power goes down, they're going to turn cannibal in 2 weeks, but because if you do a Dan Penny in Charlotte or Chicago, you're probably going to go to jail. So if let's just say where the camera is on the Charlotte killing and you were like standing 15 feet away with your CCW weapon and you saw this edgy, nervous black guy in the hoodie pull his knife out and stand up, and you just were like, I'm prime, bam, 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 bam. You triple tap that guy and kill him, right? You'd be going to jail because they'd say he was just about to do his fingernails, right? So we all got to be strapped and we all got to be ready and we all got to be ready to be Dan Penny no matter what happens. But your odds of that having a really terrible outcome are 1,000 times worse if you're on a New York subway or Charlotte light rail where all the people in charge of it are DEI hires, 100%. So if you're not there when you go Dan Penny, you're the jury of your peers is much more likely to say, good shoot, dude, here's a medal. But if you do the good shoot in Charlotte and save that girl, you're probably going to go to jail because you shot him before he cut her throat, you know, a second before. So that's another reason to get out of the cities, get away from the liberals, because you can't win there. You just can't win there. And tell all your daughters and sons, don't take the light rail in these places. Because no matter what happens, you're just a sacrificial offering to these people. You mean nothing to them. You're a burnt offering.
Right.
Hey, Wyatt just sent me a text.
Go ahead, Trevor.
Wyatt just sent me a text. So he's the kid that went through the paramedic school when we were out there at the homeless camp doing first aid. And he just sent me this unsolicited. Now, this kid just turned 19. He said, I don't know if you knew much about him or not, but Charlie Kirk was just absolutely huge for me and people my age. Huge Christian Republican influence. I've been to his events in town and I have seen his company work. He held so much of what's held together the best of American youth. I've never felt this upset about someone dying before. That's a pretty strong statement.
There you go.
Yeah. You go. And I think for the discipline will be a lot harder for the millions upon millions of people that follow him. And like Troop was just saying, I mean, you know, they haven't got that level of maturity and discipline yet. So I hope they do, you know, keep their emotions in check and let's see what unfolds. I think every one of us are completely outraged. And, you know, your first instinct is you want to break something. And, you know, I think age and maturity helps you kind of put that in check and, you know, not just go off the rails right at first. You know, you got to logically think through it.
What happened in the last week in happened in the national consciousness in the last week. It just added like 5 million followers to Nicholas J. Fuentes. There are people that are like, Fuentes, I'm not sure about him. After Charlie Kirk is murdered, they're like, I'm all in with Fuentes.
Yeah, they're going to be looking for somebody new. You know, Charlie Kirk, you know, as I was saying in the chat as well, you know, he was Rush Limbaugh's, you know, go-to guy before Rush died. He's like, you know, Charlie Kirk's next man up.
The pulse, you know, of the generation.
Yeah. And, you know, they will be looking for somebody. And whether, you know, you like Charlie's style or not or whatever, you know, he did have that massive influence on that young, our younger generation.
There's part of the demographic is like, I'm not going to now start listening to Alex Jones or Owen Schroyer. Both of those guys are different generations. Part of that Venn diagram is people my age. And the Nicholas Fuentes generation just picked up 5 or 10 million by Charlie Kirk being killed.
Unintended consequences.
My age.
Yeah, there's no replacement. And, you know, the unfortunate thing for that generation is he was a voice of reason. And as much as you get away from his politics, he was a voice of reason for a lot of different people.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
I'll debate you.
Who's going to step up now? Well, that was the thing, right? He wanted open discourse, and that's what we're missing, right? They've been able to influence everybody to stovepipe us into our corners to where we don't want to talk to the other side. I mean, look at how effective the operation was against the Orange Man. Orange Man bad. That psychological operation was highly effective because you have people that are completely off the spectrum of crazy with their disdain for Trump. And that to me is a highly effective psychological operation. They were able to convince an entire population that this guy is completely evil. And, you know, I'm actually surprised. Well, we'll see how things go, but I won't be surprised if somebody goes off the reservation now. I just will not be surprised. All right, with that, I'm going to wrap this up. Unless, Matt, if you have any final comments, then I'll wrap it up.
No, it's a saddlebag weekend or week.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Be ready for anything. Yeah, be ready for anything, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to get fast and furious here. Yeah. And I'll be back on Tuesday. Unless something else happens, we'll do another roundtable. Yes. Until then, God bless everyone. And
let's remember all the fallen on 9/11 for the 24th anniversary.
All right, everyone. God bless. One team, one fight.
Yeah.